Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Alleluia. The text for today's message is our epistle reading from 1 John chapter 5, but with the addition of the first three verses. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. Thus our text. Love is unspeakably powerful, not the sentimental Hollywood kind of emotion-driven love that passes for love in our day and age. That kind of love is all about my feeling good, not my effecting good. Self-love is easy. It is hardly a powerful thing. The kind of love that is truly powerful is self-giving love. Love that sacrifices. Love that cares and gives even when it hurts. Love that gives when no love or thanks will be expected. A few years ago, a woman gave birth to twins, a little boy and a little girl. They came a little bit early, so the doctors didn't think there'd be a problem. Indeed, the little girl was okay, but the little boy did not appear to be breathing at all. The mother held the child closely to her chest, stroked the child, talked to the child, and every now and then the child would squirm and make some noises. But the doctor said that these were just random spasms, that the boy was likely dead. Finally, the mother took some of her breast milk and put it on her finger and touched it to the little boy's tongue. And suddenly, the little boy started squirming and breathing. The mother's love did not give up on the child that her own body had given life. In our gospel reading, Jesus appears to his disciples on the evening of his resurrection. As we know, Thomas wasn't there. And when he showed up later, he was disbelieving. Then Jesus appears a week later. This time Thomas is there. He shows Thomas his body, the scars, the marks of the crucifixion, the marks of God's powerful love for a fallen humanity. Jesus didn't become man and suffer and die for himself. Jesus became man and suffered and died for all of us. When we get to heaven, the only person with scars will be Jesus. As we will see for eternity, the marks of God's powerful love on the body of his Son. You see, like that boy in the illustration, our situation was hopeless. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, doomed to eternal damnation. There's no way in heaven or on earth that we could have effected our own salvation. But God's love for us would not allow him to leave us in the hopelessness of sin and death. Out of love, God acted. To give us life and salvation, God gave of himself the greatest gift of all. He gave us his only begotten Son. This is powerful love. The entire earthly ministry of Jesus was one of powerful love. John writes, "This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood." When John speaks of water and blood, he is framing the ministry of Jesus. Jesus' earthly ministry began with his baptism by water in the Jordan River, where he is anointed then with the Holy Spirit for the task of being the Messiah, of loving and preaching and teaching and giving of himself for those three earthly years. And then the blood is the conclusion of Christ's earthly ministry. As he's hanging from the cross and says, "It is finished," as the last drops of blood pour from his body. The work of redeeming mankind finished. by the powerful love of God. Water and blood. Through the testimony of water, Jesus' baptism in the Jordan, God revealed that Jesus is his beloved Son, in whom he is well pleased. And in the testimony of blood, Jesus' blood on the cross, God reveals his love for all mankind. And Jesus accomplished God's will to save all who believe in him. So it should be no surprise then to any of us that it is through water and blood that God gives you life. God's Holy Spirit gave you life in the waters of holy baptism, what Paul calls a washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. You are a new spiritual person. You are now a child of God, a member of the household of faith, fulfilling what John says in our epistle reading. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. So in baptism, you are born of God. And in the Lord's Supper, God gives you the blood of his Son that he may nurture and nourish that new faith and life in Christ, in God's kingdom. Through the powerful gift of Christ's blood, not only does God nurture your connection with Christ, your faith, but he also nurtures your connection with one another, your love for your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why the Lord's Supper is called Holy Communion, because communion means fellowship. Fellowship in the love and in the truth of the Holy Spirit. Furthermore, John states, and the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. The Holy Spirit testifies both to the work of Christ on earth, from his baptism to his resurrection and ascension, and to the work of Christ in you, from your baptism to your resurrection on the day Jesus returns to judge the living and the dead. Through the truth of God's holy word, the Spirit continues to testify to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the powerful love by which God saved you from your sins. So, in this divine giving love, God has given you life in Christ's name. And in the same divine-giving love, God nourishes that life. But for what purpose? Why has God given you life here on earth? You might say, it's so that I can live with him forever. Yes, that's true. But what about today? What about right now? Why has God given you life here and now in this world? Well, you know, parents will give you all kinds of reasons why they decided to have children. Some may say, well, I wanted someone to take care of me in my old age. Another might say, well, I wanted to have my name passed on to the next generation. Another parent might say, I just want someone to love. And others might say, this is what I heard in the 80s. Well, we have the Beamer, the house, the education, the career. All that's left is to have a kid. One of the many accomplishments we can check off the list. But according to a survey done in England, women were asked why they started a family. Of the 2,000 respondents, over 50% said to get a year off from work. That's a nice benefit, huh? But all of you moms know that bringing the children into the world and raising that child is not a vacation from work. In our epistle reading, John states why God has given you life now in this world. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So first, God's powerful love has given you life through water and blood so that you will love whoever has been born of God. Well, who is that? The fellowship of faith, God's family. You know the grace and love of God firsthand, right? A love that loves you despite what God knows about you, your sins, your faults, your vices, and your shortcomings. Truly, God's love covers a multitude of your sins. And God gave you life and brought you into this family that he calls his kingdom on earth, the church, that you may love one another as God's family, as Christ has loved you. So God has given you life in Christ so that you may live in that love of Christ in the here and now. A giving love, an unselfish love, a powerful love, a forgiving love for one another. Despite your sins, your faults, your vices, and your shortcomings, your love as Christians covers a multitude of your fellow believers' sins. And again, this isn't some kind of emotional, sentimental kind of love, but truly a love that gives of yourself, reflecting the way that Jesus gave himself for you. A sacrificial love. Taking time to visit the sick and the shut-ins. Inviting the lapsed who have stopped coming to church to come back to church. Showing hospitality even when your generosity is not returned. Maintaining the peace and unity of the household of faith even when you're on the wrong side of the vote. Being faithful in worship, even when someone offends you. Using your gifts and talents to serve the church. Not waiting for someone to ask you to help, but seeing a need and stepping up and filling it. And when it comes to your fellow believers, putting the best construction on everything. This is how you love, because this is the kind of life-giving love that gave you life. Discontent, division, and discord in the household of faith are not marks of God's love. They are marks of satanic activity and of selfish hearts. Repentance is God's cure for putting ourselves first, for selfishness. But where God's powerful love is active among the faithful, where hearts are open to giving, there is unity and peace. Which brings us to the second purpose, which God has given you life here on this earth now, to keep his commandments. The household of faith is marked by love for one another. And this love is expressed by obedience to God's word, namely the Ten Commandments. To keep the commandments is an interesting phrase. The word keep means to treasure, to cherish, to hold dear, to guard. We keep and we follow and we value and we cherish God's commandments because, well, through the commandments, God teaches us how to love him and how to love our neighbor. The commandments are God's revealed will, and those who have been saved by the love of God desire to honor God by keeping, cherishing those commandments. Now, those who do not have the gift of faith, the spiritual enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, they do not know God, and they reject his word. They reject that Jesus is God's son. They ridicule God's creative and miraculous activities on earth in Jesus. They laugh at sexual purity. They mock God's morality. They think the Ten Commandments are burdensome. But the one who testifies to you through water and blood, the Holy Spirit, has taught you that the holy will of God is truly a blessing. He has opened your eyes and your heart to the joy of treasuring God's word and his commandments. It isn't burdensome for someone to care for someone they love. And it isn't burdensome to keep God's commandments because the Holy Spirit has given you a love for the word of God. Just as we confess in the intro today, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk of the word. Those who belong to Jesus by faith, who are attached to the vine that gives eternal life, hunger and thirst for righteousness. They hunger and thirst for the guidance, the joy, the hope, and the blessings of the word of God. The desire to honor the God who loves them by keeping the commandments. And those who love God's commandments aren't content simply with a rudimentary knowledge of the word, but desire to dig deeper and to be in the word of God every day, because it is the word of God that reveals to you your Savior. So the more you know the word, the better you know your Savior and his powerful love. Which ties us to the final reason why God has given you life, so that you may overcome the world. You know, the world will always be at odds with God and his word. They are mortal enemies. And thus the world will always be at odds with God's people. The world is your mortal enemy. Any attempts to compromise God's word, to try to waffle on the commandments so you can have peace with the world, only makes the church more worldly, not the world more churchy, and certainly not your heart more faithful. The world continues on its way, hell-bent for destruction, and it wants to take you with it. But you have been born of God through the Spirit, by water and blood. Your faith in Jesus is your victory, your God-given victory over the world. And your desire to love God and keep his commandments shows the world you don't belong to it. You belong to Jesus. God gives you life that you may love as he loves you, not only in eternity, but now, especially within the household of faith. The children of God bear the family traits of your brother, Jesus Christ. Jesus loves God's family with a sacrificial love. He treasures God's commandments. He kept them for you, and he has overcome the world. And to the consternation of the devil, you are in Christ. You love God's people. You love God's word. You know it has given you life, and that in that word and in your life, you have the opportunity to proclaim the powerful love of God for the world in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Would the congregation please stand?